Nights. Well, everyone, good afternoon once more. Please open your Bible to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. It's in your bulletin. However, please make sure you have your Bible app or a Bible that's open, because there will be some references to Scripture not in your bulletin. So make sure you have it open. While you're opening there, I want to just welcome, I think it's Wendell? Wendell, all right. Yeah, welcome. So happy to see you. I remember Cindy's first Sunday here a long time ago. Yeah, and now it's your first Sunday here. So, yeah. So I hope that you feel happy to be here and be with your mom. Thank you for joining us today. All right. I think that covers everyone. Oh, yes. We are praying. We are praying so much for Mustard Seed Church opening next week. And we want God to make it so successful. Michael's his first name. Creed is his last name. He goes by Creed. But Creed has asked, they're already so believing that if people are going to get baptized in their church, they don't have a baptismal yet. They don't have a place for them to get baptized. So I told Creed, you're more than welcome to use our place to have baptisms. Yeah, not as members of this church, but members of your church. Yeah, not Mitaki, but Mustard Seeds. Starts with an M, so, you know, we're family. But I have no idea what that means. All right, enough of the silliness. I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. Okay? And, yeah, you have verses 18 and 19, so please, let's read together from verse 18 and 19, and then I'll finish verses 20 and 21. So let's read together John chapter 13. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who has shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Let me finish. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. This is the very word of God. Amen. So, yeah, this is the story of Jesus and Judas. So, who is Jesus talking about when he says, one of you will betray me? And many of you are probably familiar with the 12th disciple who betrayed Jesus to the authorities to have him arrested. It was Judas. And God is teaching us, when we are betrayed, how do we deal with it? What do we do? But also, what can God do? What does God do with the evil of betrayal, backstabbing? Yeah. And so there's three things. There's three words I want you to have in your mind. The first word is belief. Excuse me, blindness. The second word is belief. And the third word is betrayal. three things that God is teaching us about blindness, belief, and betrayal. So, in verse 18, God says, I'm not referring to all of you. I know the one I've chosen. So, what's he referring to? What is he talking about? So, we have to go back to verse 17. And Jesus says, if you do these things, you will be blessed. Jesus is having his final meal, his last supper with his disciples. And in that meal, he did the very strange action of washing the feet of his disciples. And I think you read that last week and had some discussions in small groups. This happens just after. He washes their feet, and then he goes back to the table, and he says, now, you've washed each other's feet. Why did I wash your feet? Well, you call me your Lord and your Master. That's good. I am your Lord and Master. But understand, the leader is the one who serves. And the true leader is the one who is willing and able to do the smallest, most insignificant, most humiliating task to make sure that you are able to do what you need to do. So, Jesus is saying, yeah, you are my disciples. If you will follow me, you have to do what I do. Wash people's feet. Do the dirty work. Be humble as a leader and serve. Now, Jesus says, I have set you an example. This is verse 15 in John chapter 13. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So, yeah, if you will be my disciple, you wash people's feet. Now, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. He says, the leader, the happy leader, is the serving leader. Excuse me, I'm going to fix my microphone. The happy leader, the blessed leader, is the one who serves his people. And then he switches in verse 18, and he says, but listen, I'm not talking about all of you. There's 13 people in the room. Jesus and his 12 disciples. And he says, follow me as a servant leader. But not all 12 of you will follow me. There's one of you. I'm not referring to all of you being blessed, because there's one of you that has not chosen to follow me. In fact, I have chosen 11 of you. The 12th one, I have not chosen. He chose me. So who is it? It's Judas. Now, I want you to think here. Judas was following Jesus for 3 years. He was there for all of the ministry, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 3,000. He saw the miracles, the blind having their sight, the lame being able to walk. He saw demons leaving people at the command of Jesus' words. He saw on the boat Jesus walking on the water, calming the storm. He was there. Judas saw Jesus, walked with Jesus, listened to Jesus. You know what? There was a time Jesus, he sent out the 12 disciples two by two, six pairs. Well, he said, you go and you do the miracles. You cast out the demons. You open the eyes of the blind. You feed the hungry. And you know what? Judas was one of those. Judas experienced the miracles, the missions, the ministry. He experienced all of that. But he never followed Jesus. That should be a warning to all of us. All of us, especially the ones who say, I'm a Christian, I'm a servant, I'll follow Jesus, I'll be in the ministry, I've seen the miracles, I've experienced the great things in church and all the things that God did. And yet, in his heart, he never believed Jesus. You know what happened? Here's what he did. He was using Jesus to get what he wants. He wasn't giving to Jesus his life so that Jesus will use him. No, he was using Jesus for himself. His selfishness, he wanted money, he had his own plan. So you need to ask the question, are you a true disciple? Am I a true disciple? And I know this is not easy, especially for a new Christian, someone who has not been following Jesus a long time. Pastor Chris, you're saying I'm not a real Christian? I'm saying be honest with yourself. Test yourself. Ask yourself, am I using God to get what I want? Or do I truly give my life to God for what he wants? Do I pray to him and say, not my will, but your will be done? Or do I pray and say, not your will, let my will be done? You'll know if you're truly honest with yourself. So be careful of your blindness. Now, let me give you some reassurance, okay? This is how you know. This is one of the ways you know that you are a true disciple. You look at that thing behind me, that cross. Jesus says, if you will follow me, you will deny yourself every day. You'll pick up your cross and you'll follow me. What does that mean? He means when you suffer, you will know if you will truly follow me. Because when you suffer, you don't get your way, you don't get what you want, you don't have everything you need. And when you don't have what you want and when you don't get what you need, will you still follow him? When nothing goes your way, when you're having the worst season in your life, if you say, God, it hurts. It's painful. It's dark. I'm lonely. I'm angry. But not my will. Let your will be done. If you will stay faithful in the suffering, then you'll know. I promise you. I promise you. So please understand, the suffering that you experience in your life, it's God giving you a gift, saying, you will know if you're truly a disciple or if you're just another Judas. Okay? So be warned about being blind. Don't be blind to yourself. That's the worst thing, right? It's the worst thing to have something about yourself that you don't know, but everybody else knows, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is encouragement to believe. This is his main point. In verse 19, Jesus says, I'm telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am. Now, Jesus, if you read the story of Jesus in any of the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see Jesus does this all the time. He says, you're following me, but please listen. I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to put me in a false trial. They're going to kill me. And then I will be raised on the third day. He does this again and again and again, many times. And you know what the disciples say? Wakatta, wakatta. Hi, 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 hi. Yes, sure, Jesus, sure, sure, sure. And one time, Peter says, don't say that. But Jesus is telling them again and again before it happens. Yeah. But why? Is it so that they'll say, ah, oh, he was a prophet. He could know the future. No. It's not why he was doing this. Jesus is not showing what's going to happen in the future so that you will believe he's some powerful man, that he's a great prophet. Jesus was not a man who became God. Jesus was God who became man. Jesus was not a good man. Jesus was or is the God man. Why? Because look what he says. So that you will believe that I am. In your Bible, in the English, right, it says, I am that I am. Bad translation. In the original language, written in the Greek, it just says, I am, period. That's bad English, but that's correct Greek. Why is Jesus saying that I am? Because he's saying this. In the Bible, there is only one I am. In the Bible, the one I am is God. When Moses was on the mountain talking to God in the fire, we were singing about it today, he was talking to Jesus. When Moses was in the tent called the tabernacle, talking with God, getting the Ten Commandments, getting Leviticus and Deuteronomy, getting all of the law, he was talking with Jesus. When Israel was going through the desert from Egypt to Palestine, they're going through, being led by I Am. They were being led by Jesus. When Joshua, the leader after Moses, was about to have war with Jericho, the angel of God spoke to Joshua with a drawn sword. He was the I Am. Joshua was talking to Jesus. Yeshua was talking to Yoshua. Jesus says, I am. I'm not a prophet. I'm not a great man. I'm the God man. And you need to know so that when you read the story of Judas, when you read the story of this great betrayal, you'll know it was God who was betrayed. Now, why do you need to know this? There are many people who say, I can't believe in God. Muslim God, Jewish God, Christian God, any God. Because they say that God is good, but I see evil. The tsunami that happened in 2011 killed many children, innocent children. Why could God be good and still let children suffer? The earthquake in Turkey and Syria, crashing down on innocent children, suffering. How could God be good and let innocent people die? The disease, the coronavirus, some children dying. Why does God let death happen to innocent people? Or the opposite. There's evil people. Murderers. Adulterers. Abusers. And they get money. They get rich. They don't go to jail. They live. If God is good, he should punish the wicked and let the innocent live. This is called the problem of evil. And many people say, I can't believe in God because of these evil things. Do you have an answer? Here's one answer. If there is no God, there is no good, there is no evil. The people who say that we cannot have absolute truth, ultimate reality, because of evil. How can you say there's evil if there's no God? Reasonably, logically, you need a standard of goodness. But if there is no God, there is no standard. It's just you. You decide what's good, what's evil. Right? That's just one answer. But here's a better answer. For many people, evil is a problem. But for God, evil is not a problem. Death is not a problem. Evil does not make God confused. Evil does not make God scratch his head and say, "Doshio, what should I do?" Evil does not make God throw up his hands and say, I don't know. No. Right here, Jesus says, I told you before it happens. I told you before it happens. What is he saying? He says, what man uses for evil, God can use for good. There is no evil so great that it can defeat God. Do you understand? God can use evil to defeat itself. That's what the cross is. God uses death to defeat death. Only God can do that. Amen? Amen. That's a better answer. And so I want you, when you think about disease, disaster, even death itself. Jesus already knows these evils, and yet he can use it. Okay, now, that's nice, Pastor Chris. Nice little philosophy there at the middle there, you know. But that's for my mind. I need something for my heart, right? I need to deal with something that hurts. Pandemic, disease, okay. It happens. Earthquakes, tsunamis, typhoons, it happens. Disaster, okay. Death, it happens. Everybody dies. I understand that. But there is a greater evil, which is betrayal. You see, disease, disaster, and death, that's natural. Betrayal? Someone lying to me, someone pretending to be my friend, but really they are stabbing me in the back? That is evil. That's terrible. All these other things are natural, but betrayal is, that's one of the worst evils in the world, right? There's a word of comfort, okay? What's the word of comfort? Because look, I don't know where you live. I don't know your personal problems, okay? You could be someone who has had, someone close, like a husband or a spouse or a boyfriend or a fiance or a girlfriend, and they've stabbed you in the back. They say one thing, but, right? They're doing another thing. Or you've had a friend who is smiling in your face, but talking to other people about you behind your back, chatting, right? You've had coworkers or bosses that are holding you down. They're not treating you fair. Whatever. Children. You've raised up children. You brought them up in your own home. And yet, they act like you were their worst enemy. Betrayal. What do you do with that? Okay? What's your answer? Well, here's what Jesus says. He who shared my bread has turned against me. This is from verse 18. That first line, shared my bread. Now, in the Bible, it means this. When someone shares their bread with you, it's not just, we're having a bento together. In the Bible, when you sit down and eat together, it means you are friends. That's what it means. My hope is when COVID goes away and things open up in Japan, I hope to have a meal with everybody here. Because having a meal, sharing food together, is those things that you do with a friend, with a family member. If you can't do that, you can't be a church. And so there's a scripture in the Old Testament from the Psalm, David, when he was betrayed by his own son, he wrote this. He said, he who shared my own family, my closest friends who shared a table with me, they were stabbing me in the back. Jesus knows this feeling. And so Jesus says, Jesus was troubled in spirit. How could you let this happen to me? What are you doing, God? Don't you see what's happening to me? What are you doing about it? That's what we say to God. And here's God's answer. I have done something about it. In fact, the suffering and the pain that you have from being betrayed, I went through the same thing. I'm not a God of other countries or other religions. The other gods of other countries and other religions, they are away from suffering. They're in heaven. They're in nirvana. They've released themselves from our pain and our suffering. Jesus says, no. I am in your suffering. I suffer with you. So listen to God right now. He says, you are not alone. I am suffering with you. I was troubled in spirit. I was naked and beaten and spit on and insulted and betrayed. Everybody ran away from me. I know exactly how you feel. In fact, I know how you feel more than you will ever feel. And therefore, if you follow me, your suffering, your betrayal, your pain, it won't be wasted. I went through the betrayal into the grave, out to resurrection. If you receive your betrayal, take your pain, go into death, follow me, I'll take you right out too. Without Jesus, you don't know how to deal with the pain and the suffering of betrayal. Without him, all you have is revenge. That's all you have. Without Jesus, all you have is mottainai, sayak. The world is terrible. But because Jesus was troubled in spirit, because Jesus knew what betrayal is, Jesus also came out and had victory over the evil. If you follow him, you will have victory. Maybe not today. Okay? Maybe not tomorrow. But Jesus promises. Promises. Now, you take the victory that will happen someday, and you take that light, that truth, that joy, that promise, that hope, that peace, you take it from tomorrow and you put it into today. That's how you get through the pain. You take what's happening in the future and you put it right in your heart today. It's not easy. Okay? I'm not saying it's easy. It takes minute by minute, moment by moment. Lord, have mercy on me. Not my will, but yours will be done. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is. You have to pray that. You have to give yourself to it. You have to sit down in silence, in darkness, in quietness, and let that come into you. It doesn't happen like that. Okay? And here's what happens. You'll be wiser. You'll be stronger. You'll be more patient. And here's what else. You'll be more forgiving. So I want you, just last one point. The one who betrayed you, who lied to you, who stabbed you in the back, you don't want what happened to Judas to happen to them. Okay? Judas hung himself. He died with no Jesus. You don't want that. You want the person who hurt you, they need Jesus too, right? Right? So with tears, you pray for them. Lord, forgive them. Lord, bless them. Lord, help them. Lord, give to them something that you gave to me. Don't talk about them. Don't plan revenge. Don't try to hurt them. Don't try to punch them back. None of that. You take what God gave to you, which is love, forgiveness, and peace, and you give it to them. And that's how you know you'll be a true follower of Jesus. When you do that. Amen? That's the gospel. Okay? Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we need your help. Please heal our broken hearts. Please give us the forgiveness so that we can forgive others. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. We give up our pride, our arrogance, and our own plans so that you can use whatever you want in our life. And please do this in the name of Jesus. Amen.